things. And next year, we'll be back walking where Jesus walked. Okay? All righty. Take out your Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 1. That's going to be a good starting place for us today. If you're keeping up with the Jewish calendar, God's calendar, or if you're just keeping up with just the calendar in general, then you'll know that today in the church is Pentecost Sunday. It's been 50 days. That's what Pentecost means. 50 cost days in the Greek. It's been 50 days since Passover. And what happened that is of such great note on Pentecost Sunday, such a great note to the church and to the earth, is that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers. And the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was born in earnest. What you're a part of is a byproduct or a direct product of what happened on that very first Pentecost Sunday, what happened there in that upper room. And all of these years later, the power of that is still alive. It's alive in you, and it's alive in all of the bodies of Christ that are meeting all around the world today. And that event was such an important event that Jesus told His disciples before He ascended into heaven. One of the last things He said to them was, He said, "I want you to put everything else on hold until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I want you to remain in Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there until the Spirit of the living God falls upon you." And the beauty of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, to me, is really found in three things. I mean, we can discover what God is doing and what His purpose was in the coming of the Holy Spirit found in three parts. One is promise. Everybody say promise. One is power. Everyone say power. And the third one is purpose. Everyone say purpose. Okay, now take out your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. You're probably already there. And I want to read verses 4 and 5 in Acts chapter 1. And this is Jesus' words to His disciples. This is a conversation that He is having with them right before He ascends into heaven. And so He is talking to them, this is what it says. "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the" what? "The promise." The promise of who? "Of the Father, which," He said, "you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, if God were to say to you, "I've got a promise for you," how many of you would be excited about that? Well, the Apostle Peter, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, "This promise is for you and for your children's children and for as many as the Lord our God shall call." How many of you have heard the voice of God and been called by Him to be in relationship with Him? "Then this promise is for you, the promise of the Holy Spirit." Everything God does starts with a word, starts with a promise. And the Lord gave us the promise that the Holy Spirit was going to be sent to us and indwell within us. And now, look at verse 8. Go down to Acts, stay in Acts 1, but go down to verse 8. And let's pick up here what Jesus is saying further about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." To the ends of the earth. And Jesus said, when this promise is fulfilled and it comes upon you, you are going to be a recipient of something. And what He told them that they were going to be a recipient of is power. Now, the word power here is a very interesting word. It's our word. It's where we get our word dynamite from. Now, when we think of dynamite, we think of landscape-changing power. We think of something that we can take into an established system, no matter what it looks like, plant it in there, set it off, and it will alter that landscape. And the Lord is saying, I am going to send you something. This is my promise. I am going to send you something that when it comes into your life and you become a recipient of it, it's going to be a life landscape altering power. Not just for you, but for other people, for those whom you choose to employ it with, as you choose to impart it and send it out and use it underneath God's direction, it's going to be able to change the landscape of the heart. The hardest heart can break the power of the most besetting sin. It can change the unchangeable. Jesus said, the Father has promised to send you something that upon when you receive it, you will have life landscape altering ability within you. Now, that's exciting. But whenever the Lord tells us He's going to do something, there's always a purpose behind it. So if we started with the promise, and then we talked about the power that's within the receiving of that promise, but there's a purpose why the Lord is giving this to us. Now let's stay right there on that verse right there. And the Lord tells us in this conversation right here what the purpose of us receiving this power is. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my prophets. He says, you shall be able to heal. You shall be able to speak in tongues. You shall be able to have words of knowledge. Now, we know from the Bible that all of those things are gifts of the Holy Spirit. But brothers and sisters, that ain't the purpose. Jesus said the purpose that this thing is coming upon you and that you're receiving this power is for you to be what? Witnesses. The reason that you're receiving this empowerment is for you to be able to go out and bear witness of my reality. Okay, now God uses things. There's gifts in the Holy Spirit that He uses, but the purpose is to go out and evangelize the world, evangelize your neighborhood, evangelize the people you know, and use this power toward that purpose. Even when the Apostle Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he brought up the prophecy of Joel, and was talking about prophesying, and talking about dreams and visions, and boy, in the charismatic world, we just write books about all that stuff. And you know, that's great. It's fun to discover that, talk about that, and look at that. But this power that we have is not for us just to be able to walk around as some type of self-actualized Christian. A growing believer. Somebody to be able to say, I've achieved these different levels in the Spirit. I mean, that sounds like Scientology. That's not what this is for. Peter said at the very end of all of reciting that prophecy about Joel, about the things that were going to happen on Pentecost that have happened, and the things that are going to happen down the road that we're still waiting to see, moon turning to blood and the sky, sun turning to darkness and all those other things that we haven't seen yet. Peter told us at the very end what the main focus of all this is. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Now, how do I say this, Lord? I've been to a lot of meetings and been around a lot of Christian meetings. I'm a part of the body. This is my family, so I can talk about it a little bit. I mean, Christianity, this is my people. And I can recognize our strengths and I can recognize our weaknesses. We have both. One of our weaknesses, especially as charismatics, man, is this is like we've turned this whole spiritual Holy Spirit gift thing, empowerment thing, into a circus. You know, it's like we go into the big top and we're trying to see who the Holy Spirit can throw higher in the air. We're trying to see who gets healed of the most grave disease. You know, and all these stuff, all of these type of things. And you know, these are all things that the Holy Spirit does, but this isn't the poipus, as Curly would say. It's not the poipus, okay? The poipus and the power of the Holy Spirit is to be released outside of these walls, not inside some kind of big top. This ain't Pee-wee's big top, okay? This is a place where we all as believers come together to get encouraged and grow and equipped to do what? To do what? To go out. And I truly believe that one of the reasons we don't see more signs and wonders is because we're trying to see them right inside all these walls that we have. That we come here and we say, oh, you know, if I could just see something happen inside the church. And the Lord's saying, if you really want to see signs and wonders and miracles and things happen, then flow in my purpose and they'll happen in the flowing of my purpose, which is to go out and get out there and minister to people. Evangelism doesn't happen within these walls. Well, sometimes we'll see people saved in here. But evangelism happens outside of these walls. It happens out there on the streets. It did that in the early church. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, they weren't being saved inside the house of God. The Bible says there was so much power and aura around these people that lots of lost people didn't even want to get around them sometimes in the corporate gathering. Okay? But when they went out and they began to minister to people and get people won to the Lord, then they began to come into the church. They began to be brought in. And God was doing great things outside of there because we were actually flowing in what the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is. Okay? We weren't so concerned about the circus. We were more concerned about the purpose. Now look. I am not saying when I say that the Holy Spirit is not concerned about healing sick people and ministering to people and breaking oppression off people that are oppressed, believers, and all of those type of things, okay? But the Bible, to me, pretty clearly tells us that this outpouring has been given to us, and all throughout the Scriptures, you go read the book of Acts especially, and all throughout the book of Acts, you will see that the early believers were not confused about what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was for. It was for them going out into the world and witnessing to the lost. Now, how many of you say, I have the Holy Spirit within me? Okay? Guess what? You got the life, landscape, altering power in your life to go out there and see the hardest heart changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you've got that Spirit within you, that's probably going to stop somebody from asking for it here in a little bit. But if you've got that, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you not only have the power, you've got the call. And you can do it. You know, I asked the Lord recently, I said, Lord, I am too self-focused, and I hate that. And I said, Lord, please lay on my heart my neighborhood. And why, I should not have said that. Because the next thing I know, this great burden to pray for my neighborhood, and not just burden, but confidence to pray for my neighborhood started in me. And so I started getting up in the morning and I started just claiming that neighborhood as a place of divine encounter with Christ. Binding everything else, loosing the power of God, calling for the salvation of the people on that street. And it's awesome. And I really, some of the, our neighbors moved out. I mean, you know, and so we've had some new ones move in. We've had a precious couple move in next to us. Their name is Vin and Nunu. They're from Vietnam. Vin and Nunu moved all the way here from New Jersey. And when I met them, I thought, God moved you all the way here to hear about His glory. I thought that when I met, I thought, isn't that amazing? And what a compassionate and powerful God. And man, I'm just like this right now. I'm just like, oh, just tell me when the time is. Just, you know what I mean? I could do it right now, but let me know. Have I known them long enough yet, you know, to start talking to them? Because I have this extreme confidence that God brought them there for them to be born again and to have an encounter with Jesus. Now, who lives next door to you? Who lives in your neighborhood? Some of you are sitting here saying, I don't want to know those people in my neighborhood. I mean, you don't live in my neighborhood. Well, no, I don't, but you know what? The Lord has dynamite. You may look at somebody and say, those people over there, they're hard. The Lord said, take the dynamite to them. Unleash the power of the dynamite. Because when you put dynamite under that hard substance, it's going to bring it down. It's just a matter of keep feeding it in there. Keep feeding it in there. It will bring it down. And that's the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is God, the Father, had a promise for us. How many of you want to receive the promise of the Father? And that promise has power. How many of you are open to walking in power, the power of the Father? But that power has a purpose. And I believe that one of the keys to us as the American church to really begin to see things happen in the Holy Spirit is for us to get in the plan. Instead of walking in here going, okay, God, when are you going to toss Pastor Roy around? When are you going to come on him so powerful he'll actually dance in the Spirit? When are you going to grow somebody's leg out? When are you going to open a blind eye? When are you going to do all these kind of things? The Lord said, when you get out there and these signs and wonders point to the reality that I'm alive, when you get out there among the people that need to see it, He goes, I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying some of you don't need to have a miracle, but do we have to see these things to believe? These things are for the unbeliever. These are for the unbeliever. When we go out there, and we ought to be so confident with that power. Somebody ought to say, would you pray with me? You ought to be looking at him, Cass. You ought to say, are you sure you want me to? Because if I do, I'm releasing the dynamite power of God in your life. And you better be ready because it's going to alter the landscape. And you may have somebody say, well, I've changed my mind. You say, that's okay. That's fine. If you ever get ready, let me know. But man, we ought to be so confident in that. Amen. You know, Joe Cortez, Joe, he's in here. He told me about the first time he went out with the homeless outreach here with Capstone. And he said they were out there and there were all these homeless folks out there. And they were being ministered to, but the churches were kind of cleaning up and getting ready to leave. And he said there was a woman walking around who was crying. So Joe approached her with another member of the church and said, what's wrong? She's crying. She said, no one's prayed for me. No one's prayed for me. So Joe and they began to talk to her, and they began to ask her what's wrong. She said, I'm severely depressed. I've got a real depression problem. And so Joe, they talked to her about her relationship with God, and they asked her if she was a believer and things of that nature, and talked to her. And then they said, well, let's pray. Let's unleash the dynamite and see what happens, see what God does. And they laid hands on her and they prayed for her. And Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, but then the lady began to say, I feel different. You know what she was saying, Joe? Something to that nature? I feel different. I feel something's happened. And you know what? God is ready to reveal himself outside. It's almost like we keep trying to bolster our own faith by seeing something here. You know? And who are we thinking about when we're thinking about that? We're thinking about us. And that's selfishness operates contrary to the agape love of God. And so we've got to get out there and we've got to go outside. And you need to look at your neighbors and you don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Who cares? Maybe they don't like you anyway, so it really doesn't matter. You know? In the whole vast scheme of things, look, they thought the people, when the Holy Spirit fell on the first Pentecost, they thought those people were weird then. They're drunk, full of new wine. What's wrong with these people? You know? And so it continues on. Now, all right? But we ought not be afraid to look at somebody and say, well, would you mind if I prayed for you? And if they say yes, we think, oh, your leg just start going like this. You know what I mean? Here we go. Now we're going to get God involved in this thing. And who knows what's going to happen? And if I can't see anything happen with my natural eyes, then I'm not going to faint and fall on the ground and go up there and tell God, why didn't you do something? Because one time I made the mistake of doing that with God, and he said, hey. He said, when you left, I stayed. And I started. When you left, I started. And I was like, oh, okay. I got it now. You know what I mean? And so, I just feel like the Lord is really about to use us in a new way. But we got to get back to the purpose of this thing. Why do we have it? To entertain us? To be able to go out and say, you ought to come to my church, to another Christian? You know? Or is it out there to witness to the reality of a saved believer? A risen Christ is what I'm trying to say. A risen Christ. Okay? All right. I think we ought to pray. If you would be open to crying out and saying, Lord, just like they did. Well, let's put that up there. Let's put Acts chapter 4 up there. Do you remember when Peter and John went to the temple, and outside of the temple there was a beggar there who was healed and walked? Well, the Pharisees and the scribes didn't like that. They called them in, they questioned them, but there really wasn't anything they could do because a notable miracle had happened and they didn't know what to do, and they threatened them. And after they threatened them, Peter and John went back to church, went back to the greeting, to the place where they were meeting, and they talked to their brothers and sisters about what had happened. And guess what? Then they came together and prayed. Look how they prayed. They said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now look at what they asked. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We're all looking for the shaking, but the shaking came when they prayed according to the purpose. That's when it happened. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but man, I just want to get up and start flowing in God's purpose. I want to make a rededication to God to let this empowerment use me as a witness. Or if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Never been baptized. I have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I sure want to receive it. If you fit one of those two categories, and I just want you to stand and come on down. I'm going to be down here with you. Everybody else is flowing in the purpose. Purpose, you got the Holy Spirit. Down. I'm going to be right here with you because I'm crying out this same thing. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're just going to say, Father, fill me with this empowerment. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you've been filled and you just say, Lord, I want you to use this Spirit for that's within me that you've given me for the purpose. Lord, in grant that I may speak your word with boldness, and that through me that signs and wonders and miracles will be done for the purpose of testifying that your reality. All right, let's call out on him. Father God, here we are, and I'm here with them, God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I am asking you to pour out your Spirit afresh and anew upon me. I am asking you, God, that you will give me a heart for the purpose that I have this Spirit. That you will change me and give me revelation into why you have put the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead upon me. I pray, Lord, that you will stir it up within me. And I pray, Lord, that you will give me a supreme faith in you. So that when I am able to minister through the Holy Spirit, that you will give me wisdom and faith and the courage to know that my God is active through my prayers, that my God is moving through my prayers. And Father God, I thank you for putting my neighborhood on my heart, for putting my co-workers on my heart, for putting my neighbors, Lord, and those who live around me, and putting others on my heart, Lord God, that's the purpose and the reason you have given me this Spirit. And Lord, I'm going to start flowing through the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, for those that may be crying out for an infilling today, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill them with power and anointing. I pray that the glory of God would come upon them and the Holy Spirit would fall upon them. I pray that they would be completely saturated, filled, immersed with the Holy Spirit. I pray that their heart and their desire and everything else within them would be altered and changed to line up with the Spirit of the living God. I give you glory, Lord, that you are giving them the promise of the Father. I thank you, Father God. You shall receive, Jesus said. You shall receive. 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 You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You're going to begin to see things the way God sees them. When you look at people, Robin, you're going to begin to see them through the eyes of God. You're going to going to begin to see them as the Lord sees them. You're going to begin to see the love. You're going to feel the love. You're going to see the possibilities within them. You're going to feel the heartbeat of God. And you're going to pray. And when you can't talk to them, you're going to pray. And you're going to loose the power of God on your neighborhood and where you live. And you're going to come against everything that's not the Lord. And you're going to release Jesus. Now, if you're out there today sitting and you need a miracle from God, just stand right where you are. Either physical miracle, an emotional miracle, something. Okay? Now, this is going to be body ministry time. All right, if you've got people standing around you and you're still sitting, I want you to go to those folks, lay hands on them. We're going to agree right now for the power of God to be released in people's lives. Lord God, this is a miracle working God. This is a miracle working spirit. And Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will send your power upon these folks that are standing today. And that power will break down every hard place, destroy every foundation of anything, Lord, that has been set up to defy your word and your plan and your will. And Father God, I pray that where there is sickness, there will be healing. I pray, Father God, that where there is depression or hurt in the emotional realm, that you will begin to pour out a healing in their emotions, that you will begin to speak a word over their heart and their soul, and Lord God, that you would tear down things that are resistant to your plan, and Father, that you would move mightily and powerfully. Lord, for those that need a miracle in their circumstances, I pray, we release your power. We release the dunamis power of God. We release it in Jesus' name over their life. We release it in prayer with you. And we have come into agreement that that power will go and fulfill your purpose in their lives. We give you thanks for it. We give you thanks for it. We give you thanks for it. We give you thanks for it, Lord. Change in the name of Jesus. Change in the name of Jesus. According to the word of the Lord. Change in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. 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 Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Lord.